speak to you this morning out of Colossians chapter 3, the first number of verses. My intent is that the Spirit of God and the Word of God will lift you up above or beyond where you currently are as you enter this place. In one way, in a different way, you're already there, but we don't always live there. You are a powerhouse. You have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. You are raised with Christ. You are forgiven. You are redeemed. You have an internal inheritance. You are an ambassador. And it's a long list I could go on with and probably fill a lot of time this morning. But if we could just grasp that and live that out. And so that's where we're going this morning. Now, I understand using Sunday morning, it's probably more like a family environment. It's an exhortation. It's an encouragement. But at the same time, sometimes we need to be in warfare mode. And so if I give a warfare message to a family environment, it's kind of hard to receive. If you come here expecting warfare and I give you a family message, it's kind of hard to take. And so maybe it's a little bit of both this morning. So Colossians chapter 3, beginning verse 1 to 4. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Most of you weren't here in 2004 when the first time I appeared here on a Sunday morning was June of 2004, and I came back in July of 2004, and they asked me to come back in August of 2004, and it kind of became a pattern that way until we transitioned here in May of 2005. But one of my first messages I preached, I don't think it was that memorable, but it sticks in my mind because of the text in it was Ephesians 6, verse 10. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And then Paul goes on to explain this by putting on the Christian armor. Now, he used a very powerful example of his day, a Roman soldier. In a way, armed to the teeth. He had been groomed, he'd been disciplined, he'd been practicing, and he was ready for war. And he says, you Christians, be strong in the Lord and the power of your might. I want to give another illustration this morning. An F-35 jet. There's a 35A, there's a 35B, the 35C, and they're talking of a 35D by 2030. And each one is capable of more than the previous one. Its wingspan is about 50, or its length is about 50 feet, or 15 meters, which is the width of this building. Its wingspan is 10.3 meters. Its weight is about 30,000 pounds. It can hold 18,000 pounds of fuel without external tanks. It's got a flying capacity of 2,220 kilometers if it behaves itself. It's got a gun on the front end. A four-barrel rotary cannon with 25 mil rounds. It carries missiles and it carries bombs. It's got a G9 force, a force of G9. When it's full of fuel, full of missiles, and full of bombs, it can still have a thrust of 1.6 times the speed of sound, 43,000 pounds of thrust. It's a powerhouse. It's one of the prides of America. It can take off vertically. It can land the same way. It's virtually undetectable on radar because of its design and of its paint. But when it sits on the tarmac, it's just a nice piece to look at. It's capable of doing all it's designed to do, but only if this jet engine comes alive and gives power to all the components of this powerful machine and then becomes airborne and begins to fulfill the purposes for which it was built. Do you see the powerhouse in action? 70,000 pounds of plane, fuel, and ammunition is an impressive something to see on the ground. But that's nothing compared to being able to see this plane in action. So just as I described an F-35 to you in some detail, so Paul describes what you've become through relationship with Jesus Christ. Can you receive that? Do you live that way? Right now, you're the plane on the tarmac. But that plane has incredible capacity. Paul, in Colossians 2, has already shown that when the citizens of Colossae were baptized, the result of their faith in Christ, they died with him, they were buried with him, and they were raised and made alive together with Jesus. Let me say it again. They died with him, they were buried with him, and made alive to live with Christ, to live together with Jesus. And so now Paul moves from Colossians 2, obviously, to Colossians 3. Although when he wrote it, there was no chapter or verse break. He goes from description to practical application. That F-35 is nothing without its pilot, nothing without its design team. It needs all of it. But Paul, he's in Colossians chapter 2, he says, you died with Christ, you rose with Christ, and now you're living together with him. And so then in verse 1 of chapter 3, he begins to bring this application from the person and work of Christ to the new life of the believer. Now, you might not compare yourself to an F-35 jet. But what illustration would you use to describe the reality of being raised with Christ and what that means? You think about it. I would suggest that an illustration of an F-35 is still too weak of an illustration. If you've been to air shows and you hear the afterburners kick in and you see the red glow and this thing just goes shoo. Many years ago at the Abbotsford Air Show, there was the F-14, which is a less than the F-35. At 1 o'clock, it was time to open the show, and they said, see the three F-14s coming. And they're cruising at about 500 miles an hour. And right at dead center, 1 o'clock, they would hit the center of the airfield. What we didn't see was the guy that was screaming at 5 times the speed. And right at 1 o'clock, dead center, as the three planes are cruising at 500 miles an hour, this fourth one comes screaming along with the afterburner, kicks in, and he's gone. I say again, who you are when you're alive in Christ is more than anything that man can put together. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. If then you were raised with Christ. The F-35 in this verse has just taken off and is heading for the skies to do its thing. If then you were raised with Christ, what makes it at least an F-35 is that you're one with Christ, you in Christ and Christ in you. No, it never was about you. But Christ in you, the hope of glory. You were dead with him, you were buried with him, but you arose with him to live with him. And so the Christ that's seated at the right hand of the Father is in you, and you are seated there with him in the heavens. So that means if you were raised with Christ, it means that by being with him, you're not somewhere else. No matter what you think, no matter what you're threatened by, no matter what you're tempted by, no matter what you're taken down by, if you're seated with Christ in him, you're not somewhere else. Can you receive that? It was two young ladies that used to live a pretty wild lifestyle. You know, those wild parties they would go to. And then they got radically saved. And another invitation opportunity came to go to another one of those wild parties. The invitation came their way, will you please come and join our party? And they sent word back, sorry, we cannot come because we've died. They died with Christ, and they now live for him. You see, if you've died with Christ, there's things you will no longer do and things you can only do. And we in the Christian church, me included, we compromise. It's like a take it or leave it attitude. We get to choose. No, you don't. No, you don't. None of you do. You don't get to choose. If you have been raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. That's where you're to be and nowhere else. Being raised with Christ includes, it is an accomplished fact. To have been raised, you must have first died. If you've been raised with Christ, you died. What did you die to? To sin, to the world, to self. It's an accomplished fact. Your death occurred on the cross. Colossians 2 says it was a public spectacle. It was witnessed by the world. It's recorded in the scriptures. You died with Christ. You were buried with him. And you arose with him. You're born from above. That's what that means. You know, in John 3:3, you must be born again. You could just as well, or maybe better, say, you are born, you must be born from above. And third, you're a citizen of heaven. You can see the kingdom of God. You can know it. You can operate from it because you've been raised with Christ. So this morning, God wants you to know that. God wants you to know that. And based on that accomplished fact, he wants you to seek heavenly things. Actually, when it says seek those things above, it says keep seeking. And I think that's one of the main points of this passage. It's to keep seeking. Because as some Christians say, we leak. When you stop seeking, you slowly wither away. You dry up. Your supply line is cut off. You shrivel up. And so we come here on Sunday mornings and we're not doing very well because we have not sought the things above. And we have not lived as if we have been raised with Christ. For some of us, because we've made it optional. No, I'm not mad at you. But I'm trying to shake myself out of my lethargy and take you along with me. Because it matters. It matters to God, it matters to the angels, and it matters to the devil. God wants you to know that. And based on that accomplished fact, he wants you to keep seeking heavenly things. Now, doesn't it bother you when it says, seek those things? What things? There's no heavenly things specifically mentioned. So what are they? Why are they undefined? Don't go there too quick. It says seek. And seek means a deliberate effort required. For someone to qualify to fly an F-35, he's been through the ropes. It's taken him a long time to get there. He is the cream of the pilots. He's proven himself. He's disciplined. He can be entrusted with this powerhouse that when he pushes that button and that engine roars into life. And he's sent on a mission. And he's to take out something. They want to know he's going to come back and he's going to have the mission accomplished. Soldiers, they practice. So when they get on the field, when they get in the air, when they get on the warfare, on the war zone, they know how to fight. Team players practice their game so they can play the real game. When you're truly seeking something, everything else falls behind, doesn't it? If you're really seeking something, everything else becomes second or third or fourth. Seek those things which are above. That's the first statement. It's the only statement, not those things on the earth. Paul, motivated by the Spirit of God, is serious. That we, the church, the body, those who are raised with Christ, seek something very deliberate so that everything else takes second place or third place. And it says, seek and set your mind. That's the second phrase in there, verse 2. Seek and set your mind on things above. Well, I got to throw a question your way. Because when I ask the right question, you got to have a conversation with yourself. In what ways and to what extent, hi Rick, are you seeking the things that are above? In what ways and to what extent are you seeking the things that are above? I would like it if you actually remember that and take that home with you. So what are those things? Whatever they are, it says they're above. They're not on the earth, they're above. Where is above? The context says where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Seek those things which are where Christ is. What kind of things are where Christ is? Picture the scene. It's in your Bible. The book of Revelation describes a throne room. It's inhabited by a king. A king who conquered death and who now lives and reigns forever. A king who has been given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. That's the scene. Seek those things which are above, with a king on the throne who has conquered death, who says, I am here to reign and rule over all nations and all people till all things are beneath my feet. Seek those things. I believe this. A similar way of stating, seek those things which are above, is to say this, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, Matthew 6:33. Which means we need to think kingdom of God when we're called to seek those things above. And so I'm speaking to you as a family of God, but I'm addressing you as a government of God. I'm addressing you in terms of focusing on the king and the kingdom, not just on a feel-good because you won't make it in the war zone. You need to be armed to the teeth. You need to have your spiritual missiles and bombs ready to be released when necessary. You need to know you can kick in the afterburner when you need it. You need to know you can take your enemy down with your stealth and maneuverability because you're raised with Christ and you're seated with him at the Father's right hand. He is there as king. He's received his kingdom. Now, it's been said that Christians can be so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. I want to say to you, that's a lie. Looking at the text, the real problem is the opposite. Christians can be so earthly minded, they're no good to nobody. Now, maybe in people saying that, you know, their heads always in the clouds, they're useless around here. But according to Paul, seek those things which are above where Christ is seated. Why? Because you need instruction from there. You need to have your heavenly focus from there. Sometimes you need to see things from that vantage point. It's your supply line. It's your lifeline. It's where Christ is. It's where you are to be with him. And if you're not there, you're not a whole lot of good. And you're not doing very good either. The lack of being heavenly minded is the cause of much powerlessness in the lives of many Christians. Powerlessness in their own lives. You have a conversation with yourself this morning. If you were to be confronted with something you really fear, whatever your fear is, or something that can give you the jibbies, how ready are you? If you think of the worst that could happen to you, how ready are you? Oh, it's not about arrogant, oh, bring it on. No, that's not the issue. If you're raised with Christ, you're seated in the heavenly places. So therefore, look, seek those things which are above, so that when those things come, when the things of the world come your way, you can fight, and when it's done, you're standing. Why are we as Christians so powerless so often? Why are we not the light and the salt of the earth? Why does the world kind of smirk at the church? I know I'm talking in general terms. Bless God for those who are passionate, on fire, and who make a difference. But why are we not turning the world upside down like we're supposed to do? If we're seated with Christ, if we're raised with Christ, wherever Jesus went, he brought the kingdom. And powerlessness in ministering in this world as ambassadors of God. If you read history, I love history. If you read history, Christians who did the most for this present world lived in the next. So let's look at a couple things to be found in the kingdom of heaven. Now, I'm not going to elaborate on it, but in verse 4, it talks about, well, it says this, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So we know there's a realm of the kingdom that remains unseen and out of reach. But one day we'll receive it when we die or when the Lord returns. But there must be things in the kingdom that are accessible to us now. Seek those things which are above is not just nice language to kind of make you feel good and seek something that's never attainable. Seek those things which are above. There must be things in the kingdom that are accessible now because of Paul's exhortation. Now think about, I'll use a couple illustrations from Jesus. He sent out the 12, Matthew 9, and he says this, and as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Seek those things which are above. One of the things that heaven doesn't have is leprosy, demon possession, sick people, lame people, blind people, deaf people, limping people, cancer. Seek those things which are above. One of the things that heaven has that we are to seek is healing for people. I'll share a little story a little later on. Up above where Christ is sitting, there must be new body parts. Do you see them? There must be. Where do they come from? When someone's club foot grows, where did that come from? When someone gets an arch in their foot, where did that come from? Come on. We're talking supernatural here this morning. We're talking because seek those things which are above, unseen, but real, where not too many people have gone to and come back from and reported, except through visions and dreams. And those people who receive their healing. So one of the things we can seek is healing for people. James 5:15, by faith and the power of faith, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. Can you, by faith, seek healing for somebody? Go to where Jesus is seated and pray for this guy's back when he needed it. Lord willing, Timothy Berry is coming back in May for a healing conference. May 5 to 7, you can make note of it. And what we're talking about is putting teams together and to go out on the streets. And to seek those things above, to say, Lord, I know there's hearing in heaven. This person's deaf. Where else are you going to get it from? Where else is it going to come from? Can you believe for that? Why are we so powerless? So often. Second one. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. So deliverance from demons. Where do we go for that? We got to go back to the things that are above. We need to declare the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus over demon possession. Comes back to the question, how much are you tapping into? In what ways and to what extent are you seeking the things that are above? Or third, what else is in heaven? There's body parts, the name and blood of Jesus to be called over those demon-possessed or oppressed. What about the blood of Jesus to see people saved? Have you ever found a case so bad that Jesus couldn't save them? And are you seeking those things above to see the power of the finished work of Jesus Christ released over this loved one, over this person you're aware of who so desperately needs Jesus and who isn't even looking for him yet? Where else are you going to go? Where else are you going to get it from? How are people going to come to Jesus unless we seek those things above on behalf of others? Maybe all of us can identify with somebody recently or longer ago who passed away, who did not know Jesus. And that should hurt. And I did say 2 weeks ago or last week, and I will say it again. My prayer is to see more people saved in 2017 through us than we have seen in the years combined together. And why not? Seek those things above. The angels rejoice when one sinner repents. You see, we need to see the situation in this world from the place where Jesus is seated. What does Jesus see? He died, he was buried, and he rose again. And he's got a perfect picture of what's going on, what's required. And he's called you up there. And he says, come now, seek what I have earned, what I have received, and what I'm here for. I am the ruler of the universe. I am the ruler of the earth. I have received the kingdom. Daniel 7:13-14. Seek those things above so that the kingdom of God, which is the real deal, will be released on the earth. I heard a story a couple years ago. It wasn't recorded. It was from Heidi Baker, and I'll share it. It kind of stretches you out there, but that's okay. I'm okay with that. Hopefully you are. In John chapter 14, She had read this passage, a familiar one. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I have always read it future tense only. Until Heidi shared this story. Now, if you know anything of Heidi Baker, she died to self. And she arose with Jesus. And she lives it. She prays for the deaf. She has, by the way, she has kids come around. Okay, kids, to get around this person, you lay hands on them and they begin to speak. And the deaf hear. She has seen the blind see. The sight restored. She sees food multiplied. She's got a story. She's got an American team there to help her serve all these hungry people from this village who came. I think it was rainy season. And they only had one bag of something. And she had this team help cook it. And there was way more people than there was food. But she instructs these American volunteers, this team, and said, feed them lots. They all got fed and there was leftovers. She's seen food multiply. She's seen the dead raised. And she talks about John 14 and she says, I have seen these mansions. And she says, I go there all the time. Because she continually seeks those things which are above. And she says, God has shown me the rooms. And she says, I have permission to go into one room all the time. He's now given me the key. And it's the food room. Whenever I need to feed the hungry and we have more people than we have food, I'm allowed to go into that room prepared for me, that mansion prepared for me, and I go there and we feed all the people. And she says, I've seen another room. It's the healing room. It's full of body parts. I've seen hearts, I've seen kidneys, I've seen legs, all kinds of parts. But she says, I still need permission to go in there. And when he gives me permission, I go in there. And people get healed. That's a little different take than what you maybe understood of John 14, right? And then she says, this is my favorite room. And that's the heart of God. And he says, I go there the most often. And I just sit on Daddy's lap. And I talk to him. And he talks to me. It gives me life. See, when Colossians 3 verse 1 says, if you therefore have been raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. What things? Healing rooms? Food rooms? Daddy's heart? Whatever it is that pertains to you. I don't think Paul could have began to list what things. And it's not even for me to try and give even a suggestive list beyond what I've given you. But if you begin to seek those things, you will put specific things into those things. You see, it's seeking. We just want, well, God, you know what? Speak to me loudly, please. I got 2 minutes. He says, seek. Keep seeking. And whatever you got today will not do for tomorrow. So you got to seek again. But if you seek these things, the supply line will continue to supply. It will continue to give you life because that's where your life is. It originates in Jesus. Abide in me and I'll abide in you. Draw near unto me, I'll draw near unto you. Seek those things which are above, not the things below. Because if you seek the things above, the things below won't matter. And the things above will overpower anything that's down here anyway. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might does not come without a fight. You're going to get resistance. Family of God, you need to be a soldier of God because the enemy doesn't want you to seek God. He doesn't want your quiet time. He wants you to quit and say, it doesn't help anyway. Some of you have told me or tell me from time to time, my prayer life is my Bible reading is worse. What's the use anyway? I'll tell you what the use is. That F-35 is totally useless on the tarmac. But when that engine roars to life and the blood of Jesus and the life of Jesus gets put to use because you're tapping into the source, you can do a lot of damage to the kingdom of darkness and you're resting in the Savior and life is full. We'll never arrive here, but it's keeping on, keeping on, keeping on. And it's not longing for the evening when it's morning, for the morning when it's evening is to be able to rejoice in the moment because you're seeking him now. He is your life. He has everything you need for life and godliness. He has everything the one beside you probably needs, but you're unable to give because of the mess you're in. I want to encourage you this morning, do not give up wherever you are. Rise up. Rise up. Give yourself a kick if that's what it takes. But get up. I need you to shake the lethargicness out of me. I want to hear 100 F-35s roaring to life here in the Spirit and take off and dwell there. Seek there while you live here. So you're so heavenly minded, you're nothing but earthly good. Can you receive that? You will experience resistance. You will, but there is no other way. You see, he who died for you didn't stay here. He's in you, but he didn't stay. He says, seek those things above because one of the, not things, but he's up there. And unless you go up there, you're going to dry up. And in the spirit, some of you are pretty shriveled. You're dehydrated. And it wasn't the godly fasting. Somebody has told you a lie and you've believed it. You've given up. And some of you may not even be saved. You've made a verbal expression. You have said, yes, Jesus. You see, the reason I can be this hard on you this morning, because Christians want that. They want to smarten up. They want to be told, you're raised up with Christ. You see, if you're not a Christian here, you could be offended. Who are you to tell me that? Jesus. He would tell you that. James is pretty blunt too, by the way. Because they're holy kicks. They're holy gut checks. And Christians like those. It's like, that's right. Thanks for bringing me back in line. I needed those. You need them. I need them. We get lethargic. We get lazy. We get down and we become useless. And it looks like lifeless when the reality is you have been raised with Christ. And so everything that's in Jesus is in you. And I am praying for and looking for you to raise the dead. And to see the deaf healed and demons cast out and the lost saved. Because you're seeking those things which are above. I probably haven't gone far enough. Because I don't know how to bring it beyond this. So I have, but I am relying on the Spirit of God to take it where he needs to take it. So let me pray, and I'll pass it back to Bert. Father, this morning we thank you that we are raised with Christ. And we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And Father, we repent this morning that too often we only get earth's perspective. And the world is overwhelming, and life is overwhelming, and jobs are hard, and family's hard, and Lord, we're not doing well. We repent this morning. And Father, we say this morning, give us a fresh dose of your grace to pick up, to stand up, and to face whatever you're calling us to face, because your grace is sufficient, because we're not doing it alone. And so, Lord, this morning we say, we will seek the things which are above, which give us life, which give us hope, which enables us to overpower our enemies in the name of Jesus. And Spirit of the living God, come now, Lord, and do what only you can do. Fill the hearts again of your people to overflowing, of longing for you, of love for you, of hating sin and loving life and loving Jesus. And Father, for any here who do not know Jesus Christ, who have wandered away, who are even wondering if they're saved, God, today visit them. Lord, you say, if he will repent and believe on Jesus, he will be saved. Lord, today, let salvations come. Let the kingdom of God increase through new birth. God, have mercy upon Free Grace Fellowship and take us beyond where we are. Lord, I ask for the eradication of all lethargy, of anything and everything that is not of you that you wanted gone. Lord, we accept your way, your process, your timing. But Father, if there's things you've called us to deal with and we haven't dealt with, we repent this morning. And say, we say, Lord, have your way among us. You are the potter, we're the clay. Lord, we submit to you this morning. We say you are our Lord, and we fear you. Give us a renewed trembling at your word. Revive our spirits and give us the life that you give, because it is life indeed. Oh, Father, hear us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.